You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller, and we're with you here for the next couple of hours talking sports with you, and thank you for joining us here this morning. BMW of Des Moines guest list. This is what's coming up. Bottom of the hour, Michael Swain from Cyclone Alert, part of 24/7 Sports. Michael Swain will help us out with Iowa State. They're convincing victory over the Longhorns, who've now lost, what, three in a row to Iowa State? I believe that number's at three. Come back from a halftime deficit and get the win and march on to Lubbock this weekend. At 10:45, 10:50-ish, we will recap our friends from Circa's weekend in the state of Iowa. Circa Sports, they own that radio real estate every Monday at 10:50. So we'll recap the weekend in the NFL, college football, etc. from a book and a sports betting perspective with Michael Palm. At 11:05, Trent Bama Bob and I will go around college football. At the end of it, we will do our who do we anticipate the committee will announce tomorrow. Who should the committee announce tomorrow as their top four teams? I'm guessing it'll be a little bit different, at least in one of these chairs. ABC. Anybody but Cincinnati, Condon.
No. Oh.
And then at 11:35... Scott Dockerman from The Athletic will join us, and Doc and Trent and I will talk about those Hawks and about that new quarterback. An ugly win, but I don't care. A win's a win, right? It wasn't the prettiest of things, but the Hawks get in to go into Evanston and come out with a victory and potentially come out with a quarterback controversy, or should it be? Maybe some time for the wacky Sunday in the NFL.
Oh, man.
What a crazy, crazy day. But lots going on. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Fun weekend. Got to see everybody at Circa that was in town. Except for Derek Stevens this Friday night. He was in town up in Jefferson, and I was calling high school football, so didn't get to see him, but made sure to pass along a little hello from a couple of people. What a fun group that was.
It was. They were a fun group. I'm glad I went to Jefferson on Friday. Boy, it's further than you think.
Getting up there, even from Ankeny, huh?
Yeah, it's not bad. Don't get me wrong.
45 minutes?
No, it's longer than that.
Is it?
It's about an hour.
Okay.
But there's a patch of road, and I can't remember the last time I was on a two-lane road. Not very often.
Because you don't get out
Boone.
About, right?
No, you get past Boone into Jefferson. It's two lanes. Anyways, glad I went. Good folks at Wild Rose. Travis Dvorak, who's been really good. Boy, I saw the baseball trophy that Brommelkamp's getting for that contest that they had. That's a nice one. They do a nice job up there. Anyways, so it was good to see Circa. It was good to watch winning football for both schools this weekend as they both got in the win column. Iowa State, the Big 12 path to Dallas is still there. In front of them. Got to get some help. But boy, it sure looks like things may break their way. Iowa, on the other hand, it was a different... Now, here's the question, though. Petras, you saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, he could not throw the football.
No.
I mean, they were going... They didn't even... The two passes that he threw into the ground, they weren't even close to being receptions. He didn't even get it as far as the receiver.
In a way, it's almost... Why was he even out there?
That's just it, Trent.
Because we heard that he didn't have velocity in the pregame warm-ups. If that's the case, then what's the point?
Oh, and he sure didn't.
Right.
I mean, it was bad.
Padilla came in right away, made that beautiful throw.
Trent, it's a different football team.
And
there was a spark.
This is what upsets me. Going back to even last year in the six-game winning streak, because they started to pile it on and they're beating everybody. It was the defense that was going there, but they did enough offensively. But even at that time, I said, why don't you give Padilla a shot? It's a lost season. It's a weird COVID year. Right. You start 0-2 in those blowouts in the fourth quarter. Why didn't you get Padilla some more reps. And we said it this season at times. Now, there weren't a ton of opportunities, but when there was, why don't you do it? It just didn't make sense. And during the whole offseason, I said one thing. What ultimately matters about this Iowa football team is getting it in Indianapolis. That's it. Because Iowa, over the last 5 years, stack up their wins. We've talked about the numbers. One of the top 12 teams in college football in terms of victories, but they haven't been to Indy.
No.
That's what you have to do. And I never believed that Spencer Petras was good enough to get them to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. This isn't all his fault. We know that offensive line, playing calling, on and on and on. It's not all on him. But what I said, I believe, is coming to fruition. He's not good enough to get them to Indianapolis, and it's going to be more than likely another year where they're not going to get there. This team might finish 10-2. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to, but they very well could finish 10-2, but you're not getting to that final goal. What it's about in your division, winning a division that isn't very good, and they're not going to be able to do it again. And I think it's one of the reasons that you look at is because they weren't willing to see what else they had at the quarterback spot.
Well, they saw firsthand on Saturday night. Now we will see what they've got cooked up for this weekend when Minnesota comes to town. It should be Padilla. I'd like to see him get an entire week of reps with the ones and see if he makes a difference. So he certainly did on Saturday night. Meanwhile, in Ames, really 7-3 at the end of the first half, and then that offensive output. Trent, Iowa State, this Breece Hall character.
Yes.
My God, what a player he is. Brock Purdy doing what Brock Purdy does over and over again. Now, Charlie Kohler did not have a good night, but where I want to start on the Iowa State side of things, because I've killed this guy. I mean, it's easy to do so, right? Corey Dunn is not had a good year.
No.
I've called him the only kid that's, you know, the only punter from Australia that actually can't punt. He had a punt, and I get it, it's his job.
Yeah.
But it was a totally out of character for him. And it was a big play in the football game when he, you know, it was his first opportunity to come in. Mevis was handling the punting duties, mm-hmm. and they put Corey Dunn out there, and he backspin. I mean, it was perfect. And I want to give him credit because it's been a tough year for him. But that was good. But the other guys, I mean, so much credit goes around to this team. Texas was just... Trent, they didn't look like they belonged in the same field in the final 30 minutes.
They didn't look like they wanted to be there either.
Well, that's true.
And that was such a cathartic moment. You could tell. And every Cyclone fan that I talk to, everybody that I have that's Iowa State fan, you just knew what this meant this week. And the first half, it wasn't pretty by any means. But that second half and the SEC chants in a mocking way mm-hmm. and on and on and on and the horns down and all the great signs that were out there. It was just that moment that I think that the Cyclone fans needed. It was... put him to bed. Chris Williams had a great column on Friday talking about that and just the feelings of Iowa State fans. And to have it play out in that fashion, to just have a second half of domination saying good riddance.
Yeah.
See ya. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I don't know. You want them in. I think you should do everything you can to keep them because you've got their number, for crying out loud. Why would you want to get rid of them? I get it. Look, Breece Hall, special, yes. Special player. Hutchinson. He had the fumble, but another terrific effort out of him. Kohler, really bad first half, really good second half. The trick play, the Hutchinson to Tariq Milton pass, that's back-to-back weeks. Milton has found the end zone. Chase Allen with a couple of big catches when they needed him. That little slant over the middle's been there. And the defense stepping up in the second half like they normally do.
As bad as the offensive line it was in the first half, what they did in the second half. Now getting Breece going is going to help that out mm-hmm. too. But they really struggled in the first half, and they came together, I thought, in the second half and played at a high level. It wasn't a perfect moment, but it was a great moment. It's one that I think Cyclone fans are going to remember for really not long time. Just a beautiful day. Full day of tailgating. You get all that going
on. Fall day, you're right.
And then to culminate like that, it was awesome. It absolutely was awesome. Fan base really needed something like that. And for the frustrations of the week previous and what the season has been overall, to get that kind of moment, I think, was great for the fan base.
No, they needed, you know, another point of the game, too, and this never happens to Iowa State. Mevis hits a field goal from 46 yards, flag. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Was it somebody move or there was a play clock violation, whatever. 46 yards right down the middle, back up 5 yards. Well, what's going to happen?
It's a 50-yarder with a Cyclone kicker.
Right, it's not going to make it.
But they have a kicker now.
And not only did he make it, he might have kicked it further from 51 than he did from 46. This never happens to Iowa State. They got a kicker. They've got a defense. It was Arike. Just play after Will McDonald. Here's the thing, and I don't, you know, I should have checked this. Are there two number nines Is there two number nines?
Oh, I would guess that there are, yeah.
Okay, so Breece Hall's long touchdown, the ensuing kickoff. You know who ran down and made the tackle? Maybe this is a different number nine. Will McDonald.
Oh, really?
On special teams. I mean, the guy that just set the record for sack leaders, he's down. It sure looked like him because he's a
Joe
big kid.
Joe Skates is the other nine.
No, it wasn't. Well, Joe Skates has got some size, too.
He hasn't been out there.
No, I think it was Will McDonald. And I'm going to leave it as it was Will McDonald because that's better for the story. But what a gutsy performance out of him. Look, Iowa State beat Texas Tech, beat Oklahoma, beat TCU. Oklahoma's got to play Baylor. Oklahoma State's got to play Oklahoma. It's there for you. If you run the table and then root for Oklahoma in every game that you're not playing them, you're getting in. Simple as that. Simple as that.
Joe Skates played one snap, at least offensively.
Yeah, I think it was Will McDonald. It's a better story, so
we're going to go with that.
With Will McDonald. But yeah, it was good to see it. You know, when you go back a week ago today, right, it's kind of down in the dumps day.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa had been beaten. Iowa State had been beaten. What's left for these teams type of thing. But they both righted the ship, and good for them. Now Minnesota, they come to Kinnick Stadium. Iowa State goes to Lubbock. Were there what? 10? What? I didn't know the number came out. I don't remember. Is it
10 and a half?
10 and a half? Nine, 10 and a half is the number. And I was favored what?
Touchdown. Let's see if it's any different here this morning. It's down to six.
Down to six. Well, I watched, and this was torture. Illinois, Minnesota in the early window.
What's wrong with you?
Why, they're coming up on Iowa's schedule, and I want to watch them. And they both play.
That's
each
what
other.
BTN and 60's for.
Yeah, I get it.
There were so many other more intriguing games.
Well, what else was on at that time? Was that in the Nebraska game at that time?
Yes.
That was my second flip. Boy, Nebraska. Trent, you can say this, and people used to, you know, when you used to say something like this, you'd get killed for it. But I believe this. Are they the best 3-7 team in the history of college football? Maybe not the history, but they're pretty damn good 3-7 team.
They're a good 3-7 team, but there's a reason that they're 3-7.
Sure,
and it's because they don't do the little things
finish.
Right.
Yes.
The decision by Frost, 23-17.
It made no sense. Made no sense.
The running, and even worse was the third down play call. We know third down didn't go well. You're running the ball right down their throat. Why are you throwing it?
Mm-hmm.
Just keep pounding it at them. Pound it at them twice and get the first down.
Yeah.
Even if you don't get it there, that play calling more than the actual decision left me shaking my head. But that was one where Nebraska has talent. It's not a talent problem.
They got a defense.
And now you have to look at it and say, all right, we see that this team is talented enough. This team easily could be 7-3, an inverse of the record, without making real big, grandiose changes.
No.
That's how close they are. Is Scott Frost, though, the guy that can change that?
Because it's a $20 million question.
It's a common denominator. There's one.
Yeah.
And it's Scott Frost.
Yep.
And there's a reason that this is the worst team. It's not hyperbolic.
No.
Numbers bear it out. In one possession games, nobody in college football is close to as bad as the Nebraska Cornhuskers under Scott Frost.
Since he got there. This isn't a one-year thing, folks. This is every year since he's been there.
Right. You look
but
back
it's $20 million, Trent. That's the buyout. Can they afford $20 million?
That's a lot of runs us.
Have you had them, by the way?
Yeah.
They're okay,
they're
right?
They're fine, yeah. They are what they are.
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, I guess maybe I should have known better. You're going to a fast food place.
Right.
What do you think you're getting?
You thought it was going to be like a cathartic moment.
Right.
It was okay. The skies open up.
Right. Where was
as
I? Grand
cabbage?
Island, Nebraska. I've sampled my first runza. Anyways, so yes, great weekend for the Hawks. Good weekend for both teams. Great weekend for both teams as they take care of business. Now, Iowa needs some help to get through the West.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to keep winning. They got Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska game's not going to be easy. That Nebraska game has got a defense. To that point, they held Kenneth Walker III and Davion Henderson, the best back in Ohio State's history, at least that's what we were told. And he's going to be good, don't get me wrong. But they held both. Nebraska's defense held both of those cats to under 100 yards. That's pretty good.
It's a good defense.
That's a good defense.
It's just the dumb decisions, the bad mistakes, the times that it can happen. You could see right away they were going to be there and they were ready to go from the get-go. Mm-hmm. They're making plays defensively. They're making it tough there. And Ohio State, I was quickly back on the bandwagon with this Buckeye team. What we've seen the last 2 weeks, haven't been able to run the ball against Penn State, now Nebraska. Defense still has some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Neither Nebraska or Penn State are great offensive teams, but they're not like the dregs of Rutgers and Maryland that they were beating up. How good is this Ohio State team? You go to Cincinnati, hair on
fire.
That's
the weirdest ending I've ever seen. Okay, that's way over the top. That was crazy.
It was.
But back-to-back fumbles.
The Tulsa kid diving into the end zone, knees down.
Well, rid of the possession before. They've got the ball, and they can run out the clock. Granted, they're on their own one-yard line. Just move 2 yards, and the game is over. But he fumbled. And he gives Tulsa the ball back. And then the quarterback for Tulsa pulls a Heineke move from Lambeau Field the week before. He goes down a foot before, and he was going in untouched. And instead of scoring, he slides in, and the play is stopped right there. The next play, tries to go over the top, fumble, Cincinnati wins. Crazy. Cincinnati was beat. Alabama, 6 yards of rushing. Not the prettiest thing. Michigan State goes down. What do you do? Oregon beat Washington. Washington fired half their coaches overnight.
Right.
This is a... Other than Georgia?
Right. It's Georgia and a bunch of yuck.
It kind of is, right? Yeah.
They are so head and shoulders above everybody else in college football. And you get into it, and we're going to have the argument after tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Who's number two? Who's number five?
Right.
All the way through. This is why I continue to say, though, it will play out.
Yeah.
It will ultimately, we will have such a better idea. You need those data points to get to that point. And I get the arguments, and I understand it, and I'm going to be here yelling and giving my opinion as I always do. But it doesn't mean that it's right, because you got to have everything in front of you. 13-0 Cincinnati, I'm with you. Deserving. But they're not there yet.
They're not.
Until you get there, you just can't make those kind of arguments for a team like that and a schedule like that that they played.
Trent, the last 3 weeks, they've not been good.
No, not at all. Against three not very good teams.
Tulane, Navy, and Tulsa.
Three bad teams. It's one thing to lose, beat LSU only by six and easily could have lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And beat Tulsa.
Yeah, I know.
It's just different conversation.
Here's the thing. This is a different Cincinnati team than beat Notre Dame. I don't know what's changed.
I told you last week, every single metric out there, last year's Cincinnati team is a lot better than this year's Cincinnati team. But we have those memories. If Cincinnati last year was 9-4, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Right.
It'd be a story and they'd be probably 11.
Yeah.
Hey, look at UTSA. They're undefeated last week, weren't even ranked. A garbage Minnesota team was ranked 20th, and UTSA wasn't in there. Cincinnati wouldn't have been that bad because the American is still better in Conference USA, but still, that's what it would have been. It's not supposed to matter what you did last year, but it still does matter. And Cincinnati, it's good for them that last year actually did matter.
Yeah, no, 100%. Couldn't agree with you more. Want to take a couple of calls, or shall we? We've got Michael Swain coming up on Iowa State. We will get him in here at 10:30. More on Iowa State's win. Off they go to Lubbock for a 2:30 kick. I think, is that the deuce? I think maybe, well, you know what? Instead of thinking, why don't I just look? I want to say that Iowa State, Texas Tech is ESPN2. Meanwhile, Iowa is on Big Ten Network, BTN, for the Hawks. Both of those games, as they were last week, right on top of each other, at 2:30. And they're both favored in their football game. By the way, we will let you know who won the tickets if you tried to win the Minnesota tickets. It was a huge Cyclone fan that won them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I looked at his
Isn't
Twitter
that the
page.
Second time this has happened? I think we've had two Cyclone fans that have won now, yeah.
I think
back earlier in the
Joe
season.
Joe McConkey?
Too. Okay.
He won the tickets, so I'll reach out to you, Joe, and let you know how I can get. Well, they're not tickets; it's an electronic ticket. Couple of minutes on the NFL. Biggest story from yesterday. Well, in totality, it's the upsets.
Yes,
but of the upsets, which is the biggest? Not the most fatal. Which one sticks out?
The Bills.
Yeah, it's Jacksonville.
It was between them and the Cowboys for me. So here's Buffalo, who we believed, I think, throughout basically this whole season, they're the class of the AFC. They're now 5-3.
I agree.
Here is who the Buffalo Bills have beat this year. You ready?
I'm not sure I want to know.
Miami.
Okay.
Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs. And the Dolphins.
None of those teams are in the playoffs right now, Trent.
Those are their five wins. Yeah. Losses to the Jags, the Titans.
And Steelers.
And the Steelers.
In week number one. You know the biggest story to me? The Tennessee Titans.
keep
look
finding
at the,
a way.
They've beaten the Bills, they've beaten the Colts, they've beaten the Chiefs, and they've beaten the Rams in the last 4 weeks. That's impressive.
Did it without Henry. Little juice out of AP. Adrian Peterson.
I don't know what he's got left, but
last touchdown, he had a little something there. There was a little power coming out of AP. I
was more impressed with Tannehill's boot on fourth down. That was impressive. And I was not impressed with Stafford throwing the ball to my good God. Especially that first one that was picked when he was, this Jeffrey Simmons. Do you remember, what's the name of the bowl? The Mississippi State Iowa bowl game.
Was it Outback they were in?
I knew they were in Florida. Anyways, leading up to the game is, keep an eye on this kid. Keep an eye on Simmons. He's a really good player, blah, blah, blah. Boy, he's good.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that, he is a disruptor.
Tennessee team, they're interesting. They're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. One thing I heard over the weekend.
Defense.
Leading over into the game. Yeah, and the way they turned it out. How about Hooker, former Hawkeye, making
a
play?
He had a couple of huge plays.
On that third down play out in the flat.
Specifically that one.
That was an easy first down. Mm-hmm. And he just made an incredible play. They've improved a lot on that side of the football. But about what they have in the running game and now what they're going to be. Derrick Henry is as talented of a guy at the running back position. You look at the numbers and everything, of course. But there's metrics out there that show it combines basically how many yards are there on a particular carry. He is about a half yard better than average. You think, okay, well, what's that in comparison to everybody? That basically puts him only in the top 15 of running backs. Mm. It's maybe not the death knell that people anticipate. Well, he's a monster. He can make plays. They gave him the ball so many times.
That's true. Here's the thing. It's not a foregone conclusion. He's done. They're holding out hope that he's a January get back. We'll see. You know the other game that stuck out to me, too? The Chiefs, they won. Mm-hmm. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're giddy here this morning?
Not at all.
Because if it wasn't Aaron Rodgers, it was Jordan Love.
Who was bad.
Who was really bad. And it's a good thing they put his girlfriend and his mom up as high as they did, because maybe they couldn't see how bad their loved one was, because he was not good. Did you see where they parked mom?
Yeah, last row.
The very last row. And that's a Green Bay thing. That's not a Chiefs thing.
Oh, really?
Now, apparently, this is from Amy Trask, who's done a lot in the NFL with the Washington football team, because the Chiefs were getting killed on Twitter for doing that to them. But apparently, each visiting team gets two different sets of tickets. The big allotment are the cheap seats. Uh-huh. They do have a block of tickets for the people that they want to give better access to, closer to the field, right? It was the Packers that decided that's where they want to park mom and the fiance.
And
so
the
this is on the Chiefs.
Start of his career, you're up in the upper deck.
Absolutely. And how about Lazard? You know, not spiking the ball. Making sure that he held on to that football so he'd get to the sidelines and give it to his quarterback, who he realized had just thrown his first NFL touchdown.
And that play, ducking the head under and getting in, that was great.
Sorensen overrunning as he normally does. If you're a Chiefs fan, the stat that I saw last year, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but the average passing play for Mahomes was like 6.4 yards. This year it's 2.6. That's a significant... significant drop off. His best play of the game was the last play of the game sealer. You know, when he was scrambled and found Tyreek Hill, who'd come back to the football. That was his most impressive pass of the entire day. Jordan Love almost beat him.
You ready to beat your chest about your Broncos?
5-4.
Let's go. Come on. No more NFL draft that look for
no,
you.
I'm back on board. I've scraped my knees jumping back on that bandwagon.
Teddy was great.
30 was really good.
Why was Dak still in the game?
I have no idea. Exactly.
What's the point?
There's no point. There's 6 minutes left in the football game. You're beat. Now, they did score a couple of times in garbage time. Big deal. You know, Aaron Rodgers is out. The Cowboys have a massive chance. The Rams have a massive chance to make up ground in the NFC. Both of those teams got to feel sick to their stomach this morning. Meanwhile, Arizona, without Kyler Murray, just destroyed the Niners.
No Hopkins?
And DeAndre Hopkins was out. Great point.
Chase Edmonds got hurt early in that game. So was all James Conner. It was Christian Kirk, Rondell Moore, A.J. Green. Yeah. He was also out in the game.
Wow.
And they find a way. Are we ready to say maybe we overrated Kyle Shanahan? I had the Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
Look at his career record. It's not very good.
No, they had a ton of injuries last year. Trent, it's It's not crazy. I could see why Niners fans are starting to wonder.
And who was the one that made the decision to go to trade up where he easily could have got Mac Jones, who was the apple of their eye, at least for a while.
Well, or so we thought.
And instead you trade up.
Yeah.
You got Trey Lance.
Yep.
Is that Kyle Shanahan? Do you point to him?
Is it, well, does he have the ultimate decision, or is it John Lynch?
Right.
One of those two. Anyways, I do not have the keywords, Trent.
I got him here.
Well, it's time for another $1,000 handoff.
Let's get $1,000 for somebody.
Let's do so. Text the keyword.
Win.
To 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000. Win to 200-200. Michael Swain covers Iowa State for CycloneAlert.com. He will join us next as we get more into the win over Texas. Mike Palm from Circa at 10:50-ish as we take you until noon on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3R.com.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. If you missed the keyword this hour, it is win. Win to 200-200. Mike Palm from Circa coming up here in about 15 minutes or thereabouts. Right now, Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Michael, Trent, and Ken, thank you for coming on. How are you, Michael Swain?
Doing great. We're kind of in that busy time of year now where hoops starting
up.
Football's kind of in the important start of the season, so busy time.
Indeed. Message board should be jumping. You'll certainly have the keyboard a-tapping with both the sports going on indeed. So, you know, I guess before we get into the X's and O's of the game, what about injury-wise? Awazurike may be the one, right? Did he get back into the game? Was there any update on him at the Matt Campbell press conference?
Yeah, he seemed fine.
Okay.
Campbell didn't get asked about him, but he came back in the game later. He didn't limp off the field either, so it seemed like it was something that wasn't super major. So he should be good to go, it seems like.
Well, a victory against Texas, the second half just cathartic, as I mentioned at the top of the show. You could see just how important it was for the fan base and the excitement and people dressed up as monkeys and just on and on and on. It was just one of those fun environments there, and it felt like to me more than anything – it was just a moment, especially after last week, that the fan base needed. Texas, you know, you got all the animosity that is there for the Longhorns. And just listening to the crowd as the game is progressing and they're running away in the second half. Describe the environment for people that weren't there on Saturday, just what it was like inside the building.
Yeah, I think a fun atmosphere would be the way that I would describe it. You walk around pregame. I was on the sideline for a little bit taking photos, and you could just tell that there was a more jubilant environment with a lot of fans poking fun at some of the monkey stuff that happened with Texas over Halloween. And then even once you got into the game, once Iowa State started to pull away, I think fans could have a lot of fun with that because, I don't know. Texas seemed to quit, which I think contributes to the fans being able to poke some fun at them. So I think in general, that's probably the environment. Like you said, I think it's a big deal because obviously Iowa State kind of, to some degree, controls its own destiny from here on out. Mm-hmm. So I think to get that win, kind of restore some confidence going into the final weeks here was important.
No doubt. And it was their guys, right? The guys they need to show up. It was Brock Purdy, it was Breece Hall, it was Hutchinson. Kohler in the second half, overcame his bad first half when he had a number of drops that you normally don't see out of him. It's Awazurike, it's Will McDonald. Mike Rose, although he didn't play as many snaps as he normally does, he clearly provided them with a boost. So let's go there with him. He's not 100% yet. It may not be for the rest of the season. But it's a different defense just having their leader out there, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think the one thing that stood out to me, I guess, talking to John Haycock kind of going into the game was it's not necessarily even what Mike Rose brings once the ball is snapped. It's also to some degree what he brings before the ball snapped in terms of communication, understanding what the offenses are going to try and do. Because to some degree, a lot of the offenses run away from Mike Rose. They go to the opposite side. They go to Jake Hummel's side of things. But he's still able to communicate. So to have that back, I think it was massive, especially against a good running back like Bijan Robinson. So I think for Mike, it's kind of over the next few weeks, it's just kind of a pain tolerance issue now with it being a nerve kind of thing that he's dealing with. It's just a question of, you know, can he kind of avoid maybe some of those bigger hits that might re-aggravate that? So it's one of those things where you might see him leave for a few snaps, but it's just going to be something to watch over the final weeks.
saw a new name in there in the middle of that defense and kind of looking towards the future. And Tyler Onadim, a kid from Texas, hadn't seen a lot of snaps. It was only a couple late in the game, but a youngster I know looking at the recruiting services, pretty good offers coming out of school there in Texas. Kind of the future maybe in the middle of that defensive line going forward?
Definitely. He's definitely one of those names that has come in and really impressed so far. He's out of Texas, one of the few guys Iowa State's kind of picked out of Texas in recent cycles. And he's one that kind of, you know, Howard Brown enrolled early in the spring. We talked a lot about it. He has kind of that frame that you can't teach, right? He's got the 6'2", 300 pounds. But Onyedem's come in and kind of he enrolled in the summer and has really hit the ground running in terms of being able to kind of play and adapt to what Iowa State wants early on. So he's someone that I think has played in three games now, I want to say, so we can play in one more game this season and still get that redshirt. But yeah, he's definitely one of those kind of names to know for the future because it seems like the staff's pretty high on him.
Where is Howard Brown?
I think adapting to college.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I think it's you enroll early, kind of understanding it all. And I think it's just as what happens. And I think to some degree, it's Howard Brown's first time playing exclusively at defensive tackle, right? He was a quarterback in high school, didn't spend a lot of time focusing on defense. So you get to the college level, and it's a lot faster, and you're going up against 23-year-olds and the offensive line room. So I think to some degree, it's just kind of the adaptation process.
Gotcha. Yeah, we did spend a lot of time in the offseason talking about him. A couple other guys, young guys, and this is good that they're able to do that, right? Because they're going to lose a ton on the defensive side of the ball. The guy Trent pointed out, I won't try to say his name, but Peterson, the other Peterson. Craig McDonald we've seen, Frailer we've seen, even Kendall Jackson, a kid from Roosevelt making some plays. So they are Craig McDonald. They're clearly injecting some of these young guys who are going to be called upon to, you know, to be the guys next year. That's good that they're getting playing time and doing so, you know, in important portions of the football game.
100%. And something I mentioned on our podcast a few weeks back, I think maybe after that Kansas State game when Jared Hufford came in and started at left tackle over Sean Foster, and something that Barton Simmons, who used to work for us, now works at Vanderbilt, used to say was, if you want to look at kind of the trend of a program, look at the players that are leaving the program and the players that are replacing them in the starting lineup. And if those players that are coming in are forcing the issue as young guys, that's usually a positive sign. And what you've seen so far is guys like Craig McDonald, you know, Jared Hufford coming in for some of these redshirt seniors now that are able to not have a huge drop off in production, which long term, super encouraging if you are going to lose so much after this year, which Iowa State definitely is.
1973, that was the last time that Iowa State had an NFL first-round draft pick.
It's over.
Will McDonald.
He really is. I'm with you.
This year, the question was, all right, well, now he's going to get everybody's best shot. They're going to be chipping him. They're going to do different things. The game plan is going to revolve around him. There he is still making plays. We know what an athlete he is on top of it here. Is this the guy? Do you think it ends this year? Will McDonald's a first-round NFL draft pick?
Yeah, I think they've got a really good shot. And even with Breece Hall, too, I mean, he could go and test really well at the NFL Combine. I think that's what it's going to come down to with Will McDonald, is how has he tested the Combine? Because the measurables are there for the most part. He might be considered a little more of a tweener. He might need to add 15 more pounds, which for what he did over this offseason seems feasible because he added 15 over the course of that offseason and now going into the NFL, so he's able to add more. I think he really would be able to do that because you look at what he has all the athleticism, he has the length, he has the end of product now, which is, I think, was the big question, like you mentioned. He's going to play a lot more snaps than he did last year, and he's able to play a bunch this year, go against the run, be pretty good in that facet of the game. And then when third down comes, if he's not being held by one or two guys, he's able to have a lot of production. So I think he's one of those guys that, if not first round, he will be taken, I think, in the second round. But again, I think it's going to come down to how he tested the combine, because for some degree, a lot of the front offices in the NFL go first round picks in the defensive line. It's all about your testing numbers. So I think that's kind of the big key for him.
You know, one other kid that I brought him up at the beginning of the show, I want to bring him up with you again. And I think Matt Campbell actually called him out or credited him. I'm talking about Corey Dunn, who's not had a good year. But boy, that punt, I mean, that's what they brought him in to do, right? And that was a thing of beauty, getting it to back up the way that he did. It's not been a good year. It was good to see him get a little bit of a payoff when Texas is in town.
100%, and he's one that, you know, started the year as a punter, had some rough performances, lost his job, and has still, you know, Matt Campbell talks about staying the course a lot, and it really seems like Corey Dunn's been able to do that. He hasn't quit by any means. You know, he's still contributing, and when his name was called on, he didn't punt early on in the game. It was still Andrew Mevis, but when They needed Corey Dunn to come in and pin Texas down inside its own 10. He did that to perfection. Like, you could not have placed the ball better, I would say. So I think that's big. I think it's big for Corey Dunn's confidence, too. And I think it's big for Iowa State, too, knowing that if you get in that situation again where you're kind of in borderline plus territory with a, you know, a fourth and kind of five plus, you can call on Corey Dunn, and he's shown that he can do that. And maybe you don't have to go to Andrew Mutes for that. So I think that's big overall for Dunn, for Iowa State's confidence in him, and just adding another kind of wrinkle to that special teams game.
Michael, we pointed this game a lot during the offseason, kind of that letdown look-ahead spot. Texas Tech, still a bowl win away from bowl eligibility. They have their new head coach, as McGuire's going to take over, an assistant from Baylor. But how concerned are you? Possible letdown and a look-ahead with Oklahoma on tap after this?
Well, if West Virginia didn't happen, I would have been a lot more confident. But the fact that that kind of performance happened makes me a little, I don't know if skeptical is the right word, but I'm alert. Like, I don't think Texas Tech is going to upset Iowa State. I'm certainly not going to pick that. But I think it is a look-ahead spot, and it's such a big matchup in Oklahoma because that is the season right there. Like, that is Iowa State's championship game, because you beat Oklahoma, then you all of a sudden have to just beat a TCU team that has been middle of the road, of course, big win against Baylor, but then it kind of comes down to one more matchup. So I think for Iowa State, you know, you really have to win every game now in order to make Big 12 title game. So it's a big game. It is that look-ahead spot, but, man, there's a part of me that thinks that after what happened to West Virginia, Matt Campbell has everyone's attention from here on out.
Good stuff, Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Anything you got coming up this week you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, I've got some fun stuff on the site, kind of going back over the Texas game. Fun story on the trick play Iowa State ran, and then some stuff from Will McDonald, who doesn't usually talk to the media. We got to talk to him after the game, so got some quotes there from him.
Nice stuff. Michael, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Definitely sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Michael Swain, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. We'll come back. Mike Palm from Circa will join the program real quick. So the Northwestern, the fair catch when Fitzgerald went crazy, right? I didn't know the rule. Did you know the rule?
I didn't know it was set up that way. I just thought a fair catch was...
Put balls on the 25.
You put it on the 25. But since somebody else made the fair catch call...
And I agree that I know what the official saw. Was that what he was doing?
Well, the first one that they kept showing was the guy kind of in the middle.
Doing this.
Yeah, telling everybody, come over here.
That's what I thought he was doing.
But you look at... There's two returners. There was another angle. The second returner, as he was running over, he was making a fair catch call.
Oh, I didn't see
him. It was
him.
The second guy, I think, that the flag was. Because initially... That was the wrong call, but then you see the second one, who was also a returner, he was waving for a fair catch.
Gotcha.
That's where it came
Because I thought he was calling his teammates over to this side of the field, and that's why he got flagged. But regardless if that was the guy or not, if the guy who catches the ball, fielding the ball, he calls for the fair catch, you get it at the 25. If somebody else does, you get it at the spot that he catches the football. Learned something this week. Did not know that. It's 10:45. Miller and Condon back with Mike Palm from Circa on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Omar sent you.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. You know, the Rolling Stones are touring the United States now, right? And Mick Jagger's going out and about the night before a concert and just blending in. Have you seen some of the pictures?
That one picture you talked about one day, I went back and found it. It was great.
That bar. Well, they were in Vegas over the weekend.
Okay.
And he's downtown on Fremont Street, just blending in.
Yeah, just living his life.
The guy next to you could be Mick Jagger.
Are they playing in Minneapolis?
Or did. I think they just... I think they were there a couple of weeks ago.
That was recently, okay.
Yeah, I think it was recently. All right, still working on Mike Palm. But look, it was, I have to assume, another really good weekend for the books, right?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, the parlays that went down in flames, the survivor pools that went down in flames. How many people had the Bills over the Jags?
A ton. I think it was the most this week in the Circa Millions contest was that one, you'd think. Well, of course, in the week previous, 41% of the entries went out with the Bengals against the Jets. So I told you last week I started doing these NFL Moneyline Round Robins where I just bet underdogs. In the last 2 weeks, I've...
So explain more. So what is a round robin?
So basically you're betting it, say you got seven teams in there. You're betting a seven-team parlay, and then every combination of six and five and four all the way through two-team parlays. Turns out to be, if you do a seven-teamer, what would it be? 56 different bets that you're making. And you can do as little as a dime per parlay. Like, I think my ticket was a total of $24 this week. It was just a bunch of dime bets and put all together, but it was profitable. And I still got the Bears tonight. That's the last leg of it. I think
Wait a second. You have the Bears and the points tonight?
No, the Bears money line.
Oh, the Bears money line.
Because these are all money lines that I play it this way. But the last 2 weeks, they were both profitable. But if I would have had the Jets, it would have been really profitable. Yeah. This week, if I would have had the Jaguars, it would have been really profitable.
Well, how about the guy? There was some guy in Colorado that had a two-team parlay, Jags to Broncos. I mean, how?
Why?
Right? How? Right. How in the world? Now, Jacksonville's going to be Buffalo. You know what? I think the Cowboys are in trouble this week. Give me Denver, because after all, I mean, come on. How in the world?
As we like to say with those bets, let's see his losing tickets too.
Right, and because there's got to be piles of them. But when you don't need to hit too many of those to make it profitable.
No, not at all. That's the fun part about these round robins is you just hit a couple of legs of them. You don't have to hit them all, and you're going to be making money on it. And the NFL the last 2 weeks has been absolutely amazing, just how many of them have been at this fashion. The other thing, if we don't get Mike today, hopefully we'll get him sometime this week. So Friday, as we're doing the show, for people that missed our show Friday, we're out at Wellman's, all the circuit crews out there.
That's good.
And Tom Kakert's on, and he kind of jokingly said, hey, see if Mike Palm can get a line for the Iowa Slippery Rock exhibition game. It's one of my favorite broadcast moments we've ever had.
Really?
It was so much fun. It was goofy. They put a line up there. They said they took a max bet right away on Slippery Rock plus 45.5. They moved it to 45. I fired. Kakert fired. Everybody was fired at that thing. And, of course, Iowa wins it by, what, 52?
Yeah,
they covers the number.
Right.
Slippery Rock didn't even play last season. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the game. It was BTN Plus, I think it was. Yeah, tough to fall. I mean, good that they, I guess, got their feet underneath them. Patrick McCaffrey was the story of the game, right? I mean, he had a pretty good night. That could have been one of the stories of the game. All right, let's take a quick call in here. Now, I know we set the clocks back, but this is usually a 4 o'clock call.
It is, right? Maybe a day off for Derek and New Sharon.
Hello, Derek. What's on your mind? Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Hey, love the show, fellas. Well, I want to talk about my Titans. They got the easiest schedule in the NFL going through. So pretty much a lock for the playoffs. And we have so many people on injured reserve, but our defense is still playing lights out.
Derek, I was blown away how they handled the Rams last night. And that offensive line for the Rams, which I thought was pretty good, they had no answer for these Titans last night. Secondary was unbelievable. Look, here's Derek, to back up your point, here's the last 4 weeks. They beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Colts, and they beat the Rams. That gets your attention.
I think we're 6-0 or 7-0 against playoff teams last year. I don't know how we lost to the Jets.
No idea.
Everybody was asleep. But my clones, that defense, that Hasheem Young can lay the lumber. Oh,
yeah.
I love watching defense like that in that second half.
No, they turned it up. It was good to see Haycock's crew look like they didn't, with the exception of the West Virginia game all season long. Derek, good to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Hey, love the show, guys.
Yep, appreciate it. Take care. Yeah, he's got a couple of winners this weekend. Cyclones to the Titans. So the Titans were 28-1 at one point to win the Super Bowl.
You had that ticket.
I do. And I thought, you know what, that was a waste.
Couple of weeks in, it felt that way.
How did the Jets beat this team?
Right. How did the Jets beat the Bengals? Now the Bengals are going the right. And how bad they looked yesterday against Cleveland. It's the NFL. One thing I heard, so I had some yard work yesterday, putting in a new tree. So I was listening to the beginning of the first half of the early window and had the ear pods in, and I was doing some work out there. And I can't remember where I was listening. It was one of those kind of bounce around coverages. But I thought it was a good point. They were talking about, with the 17-week schedule, it just, that extra layer to it, it feels so much longer this year.
Yeah.
We're halfway through, and it feels like it's just, it's a death march still in front of us to get to the end of it. And
I hope it is.
They mentioned on this radio broadcast that they were talking to a coaching staff that said, we're being a lot more, not just practice and keeping reps down there. That's become a bigger part of the NFL here the last couple of years. But if it's close, we're sitting guys out. You know, of course, what we saw with Arizona. If it's close, knowing that you got to get through 17 games plus the playoffs.
Which goes back to your question earlier. Why were the Cowboys playing Dak Prescott at the end of that football game?
That was a terrible decision.
It made no sense. Mike McCarthy, boy, he's a bad coach.
Just put in Kellen Moore. Just do it now.
They should. Because apparently Moore's, well, we'll see. TCU is going after him, and apparently he's interested. But if the Cowboys' job is there, I mean, come on.
I mentioned when we were just talking earlier there with Michael Swain about the new Texas Tech coach, the assistant from Baylor.
Yeah, he's leaving right away.
Did that kind of come out of nowhere?
Seemingly.
You fired Matt Wells for that?
Right.
Huh?
You're taking the OC at Baylor, and he's going to be there tomorrow. These two schools have to still play each other. Right,
yes.
And I'm not sure what week. Maybe it's the final week of the regular season. Boy, down the stretch. You know, we've got three games for each of them left, but talk about massive spots for both of them.
Right.
Huge. Boy, it's going to be fun.
Oh, football's so good.
It really and truly is, and I hope it is a death march to the end of the regular season. Drag this puppy out as far as we possibly can.
Your Broncos the 7th seed, my Bears the 7th seed.
Wouldn't that be something if they both got in?
Parlay that.
Can your Bears? Well, we'll find Mr. Monday Night's coming up in about an hour. Bama Bob kicks off hour number 2. Scott Dockerman on the Hawks. 14, 106.3.